Our reading for today is taken from 1 Timothy, chapter 2, first 8 verses, verses 1 to 8. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, and then also from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. And the second reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 5 and 8 to 8. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Shall we pray? Our gracious and heavenly Father, we are so grateful and privileged to worship today together, to praise your name and to bring our prayers and requests and needs before your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful country of freedom and privileges and abundance, where we can so freely worship, so freely pray, so freely witness and distribute literature without being afraid. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in our own lives and that you have touched our hearts. And especially, Lord, we pray for the leaders and the government of our country. And we pray that you would give them the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the fear of God, that they might really lead this country and govern it according to your laws and according to your will and for your glory. We also pray for our pastor, that he would open his mouth, that he will speak to us and share with us your words that you have given him. And we ask that you would open our hearts and minds, that we will be not only listeners, but doers of your word. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you. While I was sitting and listening to the prayer of my brother Eugene, I for a moment thought to myself, how and when was I introduced to prayer? Who introduced me to prayer? And then when my mind went back, and I couldn't remember the date or anything like that, but I know that I was introduced to prayer from childhood. And then I said, some of the things that stand out in my life or in my mind about our life as children, about prayer. And I remember two things, actually. To some, these may be comical or funny. I remember my mom waking us up in the middle of the night and saying, now let us just pray because everywhere is quiet. God is not so busy. Now, he didn't know that the world was round and people were praying somewhere else. But anyways, so we would sit up and pray. My dad, my mom and I. Later on, my sister came, was born. But until then, I remember that. And then the second thing I remembered was my mom had a habit. Before she went to bed, later on, I would go to bed, and her habit was to bring me some milk, a glass of milk to drink, wake me up and say, drink your milk. And sometimes I would wake up, and my mom would be telling me this, even before she passed away, and laugh. She would wake me up and say, drink your milk. And I'll say, I prayed, Mom, I prayed. I already have prayed. And she would say, no, not pray. Drink your milk. So prayer had become part of my way of thinking, or at least prayer had stayed in my mind. So people pray. And I thought about it. And people called me right after the radio program, or members of the church called me and say, Pastor, pray for this, pray for that. And we go to the Bible study every Tuesday night, and people come up with prayer requests and answers of prayers. And we often, I believe, as Christians, take prayer for granted, as if it's a magical thing, as if when we bow our heads and recite all of us together the Lord's Prayer, God is going to be so pleased and is going to bless us. So I said, let me say something about prayer. This is going to be two-part series. Today I'll be talking about the importance of prayer, and next Sunday will be prayer in the local church. Thousands of books have been written about prayer. There are websites, tapes, CDs, and DVDs, to name only a few resources available for prayer or on prayer. Most religions and theologies teach about and promote prayer in one form or another. And there are many doctrines and beliefs about prayer. You can find all kinds of tools that are supposed to help you to pray, such as prayer books, prayer shawls, prayer wheels, model prayers, prayer workshops, etc. There are prayers prayed to gods, to men, to women, to trees, to spirits, to celestial beings, the sun, moon, and stars. Almost in every religion, prayer is promoted or practiced. I looked at some Christian religious practices to see how and to whom people pray. Sadly, I found that thousands, if not millions, of well-meaning and sincere people are misled, even encouraged to pray to things such as a cross, a heart, a mountain, a building, or particular place. Millions feel led to pray to saints, angels, disciples, and the Virgin Mary. People often say to me, Pastor, I don't know how to pray or who to pray to. Let's look at what prayer is. Prayer is speaking to God. It is entering into spiritual communion or conversation with God. It is offering worship to God. And we daily see people, at least in this area here that I go, almost everyone has a cell phone talking to someone, and then driving with a cell phone and instant communication. You call your wife. My wife calls me sometimes. I'm still waiting at the doctor's office. So, okay, that's wonderful. And all kinds of things are happening through this instant communication. And I believe I've heard people say, without my cell phone, I'm not rest. I really need this cell phone. And if they forget their cell phone, they cannot function well. Well, you know what? That may be so with people in general, But what is happening with believers? They usually leave their prayer cell phone at home and go to work and come back without being able to communicate because they left that cell phone at home and they can't pray, it seems. And then when they come home, even then they are very busy, so that cell phone is still there, inactive, until they are about to eat, and they will have a very short prayer, and then that cell phone is again turned off until they are about to go to bed, and then the cell phone is turned on for about a couple of seconds, and then it's placed aside. Now, obviously, we don't need a cell phone to communicate with God, because He has given us a better piece of equipment, which is instant communication through speech or thought. But we still don't pray. Prayer is the privilege of talking to our living God. He is the only one who can hear our prayers and respond. The other day, I looked at some simple prayers given to people to recite with promises of great results. Now, I only have three or four examples, and there are hundreds. And I hope I hope this morning you will not be offended with some of a couple of these prayers. For example, the following is a prayer to an angel. Angel of God, and I quote, Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side to light and guard, rule and guide. Amen. The prayer ends. The next prayer, the next example of prayer is what is called a mantra. A mantra. And it goes like this. I bow to the liberated souls. I bow to the preceptors of spiritual leaders. I bow to the teachers. I bow to all the saints. This fivefold bow mantra destroys all sins and obstacles. And people believe this. Another prayer says, O blessed Joseph, faithful guardian of my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, protector of the chaste spouse, the Virgin Mother of God, I choose thee this day to be my special patron and advocate, and I firmly resolve to honor thee all the days of my life. Therefore, I humbly beseech thee to receive me as the client, to instruct me in every doubt, to comfort me in every affliction, and finally to defend and protect me at the hour of my death. Amen. That is another prayer. And the next prayer, the title of the next prayer is Prayer to Our Lady. And it says, Remember, O most loving Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, we turn to you, O Virgin, O Virgins, our Mother. To you we come, before you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the world incarnate, do not despise our petitions, but in your mercy hear us and answer us. Amen. We read in John 2, verses 3 and 5 the following. This verse tells us about Mary's instructions to the servants at the wedding in Cana. When she was told that they had run out of wine, she said, Do whatever he tells us. I'm quoting this because of the very great significance that this answer has to the prayers that people pray to her. The mother of Jesus, who should be respected and loved for being the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, the earthly mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, never asked anyone or said to anyone to pray to her. Neither did the apostles or the disciples, nor did the angels or anyone. Later on, actually, Jesus said to his disciples, "I will do whatever you ask me in my name. You may ask me for anything in my name," that's Jesus saying it, "and I will do it." Jesus also said, "Until now you have not asked me for anything in my name. Ask in my name, ask me, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Anything of any value in the kingdom of God starts in and continues with prayer. The Bible commands us to pray in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We read, "Pray continually." Jesus also warns us not to pray like hypocrites. In Matthew 6, verses 5 and 8, he said, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth," he said, "they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Now, Jesus is instructing us to pray. Jesus is saying, when you pray, pray to in my name, and pray to my Father. Jesus never said, when you pray, first of all, write your prayer down, see whether it's grammatically correct, see whether you're saying the right, using the right words, and then show it to your pastor whether he likes it or approves that prayer, and then you can sort of pray to me. Or Jesus never said, if you want to pray, don't come to me, I'm too busy. Go to my disciples and pray to my disciples and they will talk to me. And he never said, when you pray, pray to my mother. He never said, pray to the angels. He never said any of that. He said, pray continually. Pray in my name. Pray to my Father. As a matter of fact, he never even said, pray to the Holy Spirit. He was very clear who we should pray to. Jesus. It would be interesting if my wife wanted something from me to ask one of my daughters or my grandchildren and say, can you go and ask grandpa whether he would let me have this? I would say to my response would be, why don't you talk to me directly? And it will be very interesting if Richard, who is sitting here, would want to say something to me and go to Vahe and say, Vahe, go and tell the pastor or ask him. That's weird. So if that is weird, why is it not weird for us to pray to say something to Jesus through an angel, through a saint, through someone else, through our mother? And people, there are people who pray through their mother. And I've shared this, but it's very appropriate to share it again for those who have not heard it. I was about 16 years old going to a technical school and I was studying electronics. And then once a week we had a priest who would come for theology lessons. Now, being born in Athens, Greece, in Greece, and the state religion or Orthodox, the church in those days was very powerful and controlled everything. So the priest came once and he was teaching us about confession and prayer. And the class was full and I was sitting there in the middle somewhere. And he said, whenever you sin, you must go to the priest, come to us, confess your sin, and ask us to pray to God for forgiveness. And being 16 and from an evangelical background, but not being very refined when it came to sort of arguing about my faith, I stood up and I said, "Sir," he said, "I'm not sir." And he gave me his titles, Father. He said, "What?" And I said, "Why can't I go directly to God? Why can't I pray to Jesus directly and tell him and confess my sins?" And he said, he laughed. He said, "What? Are you going to go on the moon? And from the moon, you're going to talk to God?" And me being very polite, I said, "And what about the priest? Is he going to go on the moon and from the moon talk to God?" And he said, "You have to leave this school." And they threw me out, never went back. That's a true story. I'm not quoting anyone. And so people have misunderstood prayer. Prayer is talking to God, communicating with God. You don't need mediators. You don't need help. You don't need prayer shawls. You don't need prayer wheels. You don't need a DVD or CD to tell you how to pray. You just go to God and say, "You know what, God, my Father, my Creator, if you believe in Him, I'm messed up. I don't even know how to pray. Help me." And that is the best prayer that we can pray at that point. Prayer to anyone or anything other than the living God will result at best in nothing and at worst to destruction. Now, I have here few verses, and to some people maybe too many to quote, but I think this example is important enough for me to read you. And instead of opening the Bible, I just have it typed here. And this is the example found in 1 Kings chapter 18, excuse me, of Elijah, a prophet of the living God, and the 450 prophets of Baal is a good example to look at this morning. And I'm quoting. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "O Baal, answer us," they shouted, but there was no response. No one answered, and they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is God. Perhaps he is deep in thought or busy or troubling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." People sometimes say, as long you pray to some God or some power, you are okay. What matters is that you pray, they say. However, as we saw in the example of Elijah and the pagan prophet, what matters is who you pray to. I was reminded when I was reading this, what happens in the Philippines. I believe it's during Easter months, people go and beat themselves. And if I'm wrong, I hope my brethren will help me, correct me after the service. They beat themselves. They even ask to be crucified so they will please God, or God will respond to them and to their prayers. There are others who will walk, and I come from a country where I've seen elderly ladies come on their knees on pebbles and pray, and while they're praying, they're bleeding. They want to make God see them. There are others who will do all kinds of things, and all God wants is a broken and contrite heart. Someone that understands who God is and who this person is. His glory and the sinfulness that lives in this body. In Acts 4, verses 23 and 24 and 31, we read, "When Peter and John were released from prison, they went back to their own people and reported all that had happened. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. 'Sovereign Lord,' they said, 'You made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them.' After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly." What do you do when you are in trouble, tempted, or hurting, or when you are weak and about to fail? What do you do when you are about to quit on God? You pray. Just as the disciples did in the portion we read in Acts 4:31, they were so in touch with God that they had a minor earthquake inside the building. The place was shaken and the people were shaken. Prayer keeps us in constant communion with God, which is the goal of our entire believing life. Without a doubt, prayerless lives are powerless lives, and prayerful lives are powerful lives. But believe it or not, the ultimate goal God has for us is not power, but personal intimacy with Him. Yes, God wants to bring us healing, but more than anything, He wants us to know our healer. When people call me to pray for healing, when people come to the Bible study or prayer meeting and say, "Let's pray for healing," when an unknown person will call me and say, "I don't go to church, I don't know God very well, but please pray for my child or for his or her own healing." In my heart and in my mind, I know what is more important than healing is the healing of the soul. If this person has not met Christ yet, there is something more important than the healing of the body. What is important is the healing of the soul, connecting with God, being forgiven, living in His presence, and inheriting in eternal life in His presence. What is more important than my leg to heal or someone else's ulcer to go away is for that nagging guilt that I have in my heart, for that for that unforgiven sin that I have not confessed, and now I cannot rest. I cannot sleep at night. I cannot even eat like David. And what is more important than being healed or having a better house or better car is to know that you have been forgiven, and to know that if God would call you home tonight, and to know that if you were to be struck by a car or have a heart attack, that's His will, and you will go to a better place. Now, this belief, I believe faith, it takes a lot of faith to pray to God. And those who pray, believing that prayer itself has some kind of a power, and when something happens, they will go, Father in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. They think God is so impressed with that prayer that He's going to heal the person. God knows that prayer. God has heard it trillions or zillions of times, and He has been listening to that prayer for millions of times per day. And He is saying to those who pray, have you got anything to say? Or are you going to be repeating this same thing over and over? I've heard it. Obviously, God is not going to do this and say these words, but if I was told the same thing over and over again, I would respond that way. Do you want God's power upon your life? Pray and stay in the presence of God. Do you want to be a spiritual Christian? Spend a lot of time in prayer. Do you want divine wisdom? Spend time in prayer. Do you want the power of God upon your life for holy living? Pray a lot. Stay in the presence of God. We will never win any spiritual battle without prayer. Begin living more in the presence of God, getting alone with God, and praying with others in the presence of God. And God will give you divine wisdom, power, and vision if you will seek His face. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before Your throne. We thank You for the privilege You have given us to come to You at any time, anywhere, for anything. Please forgive us, Lord, for abusing this privilege too many times. Please forgive us, Lord, for not coming to You in thanksgiving, but sometimes we come to You just to ask You to do things for us. And Lord Jesus, we thank You for teaching us how to pray. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us this morning. May we be revived and strengthened. May God help us for the rest of our journey on this earth to connect and remain connected with our Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen.